glad to be here. You know, I was thinking what Monica said there was that she throughout the day, she praised God because she got to pray. Church, I don't think we understand that sometimes. That if you're a believer in Christ, you get to pray to the Heavenly Father. Not everybody gets that chance, but not everybody takes that chance, I should say. Count it a blessing in your life to get to talk to the one that's able to change your life. We see chaos throughout this world. We see an immense amount of chaos. But His word always rings so true that it is His peace that transcends all understanding. That if you need peace in your life, it's God who gives it. Remember that, church. We're a little quiet today. Can I tell you, you probably could have done anything else on a Wednesday, but you chose to come here. And I pray that God blesses you for it. Because God blesses those who are faithful. Amen, church? Amen. We see it throughout His word time and time again. Did you not listen to the songs that we sang? Be excited just for a moment to know that you've been redeemed in Jesus Christ. And because He lives, you live. Because He died on the cross, that His blood was shed for you and I for the forgiveness of our sins. He loves us so much that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the whole world. And if anyone who would believe in Him would just believe in Jesus Christ, He would give them everlasting life. And that's a promise to anyone in this world, that if they trust in Jesus Christ, if they hold on to Jesus Christ, that He'll give them everlasting life. Amen, church? Amen. Thank God we're redeemed. Thank the Lord that we're redeemed. But because we couldn't be redeemed without Him. Thank the Lord that you get to pray and ask Him for things and praise Him every day for how good of a God that He is. Thank Him and praise Him for just being the good Father that He is. Because He's worthy of it, church. He's worthy of it. There's no one more worthy than God. I want to read Psalms 95, 1 through 7. Listen to it closely. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The seas is His, and He made it. In His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us near before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Praise the Lord that you're the flock under God's care. Praise the Lord that He's the good shepherd, the great shepherd that never leads us astray. And it says, for the Lord is a great God. Amen, church? He is the God, the almighty God, the great God, the God that is strong and mighty, who knows all things. But most importantly, there's no one like Him in your life. There's no one like God in your life. And I love what it says here. It says, for the depths of the earth are in His hands, and the mountains belong to Him. He owns the peaks in the depths of the earth. He formed it like clay, like a potter with clay in His hand. He's formed this world. Just look around at the almighty creation that the Lord has made. And He says that you're adopted into the family if you believe in Jesus Christ. And He gives you an inheritance, and He loves you unconditionally for some odd reason. Even if we mess up, He's still faithful. Can you believe that you serve the almighty and amazing God like Him? He knows all things, and there's no one like Him. I hope you know that in your life. That there's no one like the Lord in your life. I'll constantly remind you of this, church. I will never not let you forget it. Because it's the most important thing. That there's no one like Him. And let me just tell you, church, that we need each other. You need your brothers and sisters in Christ. Stop thinking you're going to be able to do it on your own. There's a lot of lonely Christians out there because they refuse to talk or love their brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. There's many Christians just keeping to themselves. Keeping to themselves. They're not trying to teach each other. They're not trying to mentor each other. They're not trying to love each other, to encourage each other, to follow the Lord with all their heart. So let me ask you, church, it's a hard question. Are you making disciples? You know, this is what we're called to do. To make disciples. To teach the wonderful word of God. This is what we're called to do. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to finish up this series that I did not intend to be a series. So far, what we've seen, to give you a little bit of context, is we've been following this man named Elijah, and he's done some awesome things. We see in the first part where Elijah comes and he prays that it doesn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prays that it does rain, and we also see that the Lord provided for him, that he provided a widow. And when the widow's boy passes away, Elijah prays with great boldness and great strength, and God restores the boy's life. But then we also see Elijah's downfall. When he steps in front of a Jezebel and he takes off and he runs for the mountain. But guess who's on the mountain? The Lord. The Lord is waiting for Elijah. And when Elijah gets there, God asks him a very deep question. He says, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah is blinded by fear, but most importantly, Elijah listens to the Lord, and the Lord tells him to go and do these things, but also that leads us to this moment where Elijah calls Elisha. This is going to be a difficult message for me, church. I'm going to be saying Elijah and Elisha a lot. I'll probably mess it up, but give me just a little grace. We see this moment where Elijah calls Elisha, and Elisha gives up everything to follow Elijah. What does he do? Elijah comes and he puts his cloak on Elisha, and then Elisha goes and let me go say goodbye to my mom and dad. And Elijah allows him to, and he goes, says goodbye, but he also, the plow that he used to plow the fields and the animals, he knocks down the plow and he slaughters the animal and he gives it to all the people. What is Elisha saying? He says, "I'm going to follow Elijah for everything. I'm not leaving anything. I'm going to follow him with all my heart." And he gives up everything to follow Elijah. Most of us wouldn't give up everything to follow anybody. Most of us have a hard time giving up just to follow Christ. Most of us have a hard time just with that. 2 Kings chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way to Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. See, we're getting close to Elijah's end, the end of the ministry of Elijah. And Elijah here is testing Elisha that if will you follow me no matter what. And we see from this moment that Elisha says, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. I'm not going to leave you, Elijah." And he doesn't. He doesn't want to leave Elijah. And we see this moment here where this great relationship that they've had for so long, and it's about to come to an end. And many of you know what this feels like if you've ever lost somebody. If you know that you're about to lose somebody, it's tough. It's hard. And it's just going to get harder here for Elisha. In verse 3 it says, "The company of prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, 'Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?' 'Yes, I know,' Elisha replied, 'so be quiet.' And then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho.' And he replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So they went to Jericho. The company of prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, 'Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?' 'Yes, I know,' he replied, 'so be quiet.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan.' And he replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So the two of them went on. We walked on. We see this moment where it's kind of funny where these company of prophets, the school of prophets, is a lot of, that's kind of how it happened there. They have like this school in every town of just where prophets would come and study and learn and just those different things. But we see all the, they must have known that this was going to be the day that Elijah was going to go. And every time this company would come up to Elisha and they'd be like, "Hey, don't you know that your master is going to be gone from you today?" And Elijah's like, "Yeah, I know. Everyone keeps telling me that. Be quiet." This is what he says to them. Be quiet. See, Elisha knew that the time with Elijah was running out. It was running out. And we see from this moment that Elisha loved Elijah. He loved Elijah so much, like a son loves a father. Many times we see so many different examples in the Bible of men and women just like this who have followed mentors of their life and those that have discipled them. And we see this awesome moment between Moses and Joshua. And Moses is this great leader, but he passes it on to Joshua. And we see in the book of Ruth, many of you know this book, and you see this awesome relationship between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. And when they're both widows, and when the mother-in-law goes, and he says, "I got to go back home," the daughter-in-law says, "Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you stay, I'm going to stay. I can't be without you." This is what she's saying. And we see this awesome relationship in the New Testament between Paul and Timothy, where Paul literally says, "You're my son." You know, these are the types of relationships we should have in church. But we say, I don't want to mess with them. I don't like them. You know, these are the types of relationships we should have in church. We have to have these types of relationships. And let me tell you, church, there's nothing like losing someone you love. I remember when my mom was getting sick. You know, and the doctors and the nurse in hospice, they said the same thing. Kind of can relate to this. Any moment. Don't you know any moment she could go? You know how much more that wanted me to cling? I don't want to leave her. Wake up at 3:00 in the morning. Run over there because we thought this was the time. These are the types of relationships we should build in church. Family. As much as you would want to run for your family who is going to be going away, we should want to run for our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is how much we should care for them. I can imagine, honestly, Elisha's agony at this moment. He literally viewed Elijah like a father, and he's losing him. Everyone's saying this is it. He's losing somebody he loves. Verse 7. It says, 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water with it, and the water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over the dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken from you. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. See, we see this scene here. Some of you are like, "Wait a minute. The Lord split the sea or split the water again?" A lot of people think that the only time in the whole Bible that God splits the waters is just in the time of Moses. Can I tell you, this is the third time? This is the third time that God splits the waters. Can I tell you how powerful that God is? Amen, church? God is amazing. And we see this moment where Elijah, with his cloak and this power, almost like a symbol of Moses as well, and he stands up to the water and he strikes it. All those prophets that have been following, they stay at a distance. But for some reason, the Lord just wanted Elijah and Elisha to have this moment by themselves. And they go on this dry ground. I can't imagine what they might have been thinking, but they obviously knew who their God was. This is an amazing moment. And then we see at this moment here, Elisha could have asked for anything. What does Elijah say to him? He says, "Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away. You got one last request for me. You got one last thing to ask of me." And Elisha could have asked for anything. Make me more powerful. Make me have more money. Make me be more famous. Whatever that looks like. And whatever that looks like today. He had one chance, but what does he ask for? He asked for a double portion. Well, what does that even mean? He asked for a double portion of his spirit. Well, this is what we have to understand. Well, the firstborn of every Jewish family received a double portion of the father's inheritance. Elisha is asking Elijah here, "Let me inherit your spirit. Let me inherit your spirit here." He wants a double portion. And listen to me. When in ministry, sometimes we inherit ministry. What does that mean? Let me give you two examples. Sometimes, I'll give you a small one and a big one. A pastor of a church, been the pastor for years, been the minister for years, and he dies or he passes on or he moves on, retires, whatever that looks like. Sometimes the Lord allows someone else to come up and inherit that man's ministry. But also, let me put it something small that maybe we can more relate to. Maybe if you have someone in your family, maybe they pray for every Thanksgiving. It's just they do it. And then they're gone. You know, sometimes the Lord wants you to take up and finish that ministry. I know that seems simple, but listen to me. There's no simple ministry. There's something that I always love to talk about because it's so amazing. Savannah's family, most of them are, they don't have a relationship with God. And they asked me one Thanksgiving a long time ago. They never said grace for anything. Nothing. That's just not what they did. And one time her great-grandma came up to me and asked me, would you pray for Thanksgiving? And I've got to pray for every holiday meal. You know how much of a blessing that is to get to do? And I pray that one day there's someone, when I'm dead and gone, that continues to do that. Because those are the things people need. And the Lord understands that. And we see this moment where Elisha asked for this double portion. And he wasn't saying, make me more powerful than Elijah. Make me more powerful than Elijah. He didn't want to be more powerful, but what did he want? He wanted the same spirit that Elijah had. What's he saying? Lord, let me do more. Lord, let me do more. Do you know that's okay to ask? Do you know it's okay to ask God, Lord, let me do more? Why is that so important? Well, it's important because it's not a prideful thing. It's not saying make me greater than them. But if you're in a role in this church, if you're a leader in this church, whatever that may look like, let me tell you, when you're about to take the mantle, take the next step because someone is giving it to you, it's okay to say, Lord, let me do more than what they did. Not because you want to look greater, not because you want to be greater, but because you want to see God do more. Elisha here is saying, I want to see the Lord do more. And I pray that in this church you hope that the next generation, in the next generation, in the next generation, want to do more for the Lord. They want to see the kingdom continue to advance and advance and advance. We want to see God keep working in this church. Amen? Amen. We want to see God keep pushing more and more, helping more people, having more homes, having more meal ministries, whatever that might look like. Not because we want our name to be so great, not because we want to be so powerful, but because we want to see the Lord change people's lives. I pray that that's what you want today. I pray that you want to keep asking the Lord to do more. I pray that you know the passage where it says the Lord is able and he's able to do immeasurably more than whatever you ask. Stop thinking that God can only do this little bit. Pray that he continues to do more. We have to have Christians continuing to pray to do more and more and more for the Lord. And not giving up. He says, let me inherit a double portion. Let me be like your son Elijah. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah says, this is a difficult thing. Why does he say this is a difficult thing? Because it wasn't Elijah's to give. How great and awesome Elijah was, and he was great and awesome. The Bible still says he was a man just like you and I. He was a man just like you and I. Elijah here is saying, it's not really mine to give, but he says, if you see me be taken away, then it's yours. God's granted it to you. He asked for more, and we're going to see what the Lord does here in verse 11. It says, as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. And Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. And then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. We see this amazing scene here. And this is an awesome scene. And I can't even imagine it. Can you imagine it, church? I can't. I can't comprehend what just happened. They're walking along and they're talking together. They're walking along and they're talking, and all of a sudden the chariot of fire and the horsemen of fire come and boom, separate the two of them. And Elijah's taken up in a whirlwind. The one that Elisha's been following for so long, just boom, taken up. He's gone. And it says here, Elisha saw him no more. He was gone from him. And then you see this deep mourning from Elisha where he tears his garments. He tears them in two and he cries out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. Elisha understood something, that Elijah was like a father to him. That he cared for him like a son. And he says, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. He understood the faithfulness of Elijah. He understood all those different things. And I always wonder, I asked the question when I first read this, and I still am thinking about it. In verse 11, it says, as they were walking along and talking together, they're all by themselves, it's about done. Time's about over. I wonder what they were talking about. Maybe they were maybe Elijah was encouraging him. Elisha, the road's going to get tough. It's going to get hard, but be faithful. We see this amazing scene. I wonder if Elijah said the same thing Moses said to Joshua. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Elisha had an awesome mentor in his life. One he loved and cared for. Can I tell you, church, we need them. You need mentors in your life. Ones to follow. Now, we all follow Christ. Amen? Amen. But I pray that you have somebody that you can trust, that you can lean on, that can speak into your life. A godly man, a godly woman. And this is what we see here. This is an amazing scene. But this is also a reminder to you and I. This is an amazing scene and I can't even imagine it. But can I tell you what a more amazing scene is? When the trumpet sounds and the sky is cracked and our Lord Jesus Christ comes and he takes his church away. That scene will be much more amazing than this scene. Amen, church? Amen. When he ushers his bride into heaven, when the Lord comes down in chariots and fire and all those different things that we can kind of picture, kind of see, all those different types of things. And we see this awesome reminder that we too, if you're a believer in Christ, will be taken up to heaven. Just like a whirlwind. Even if you pass away here on earth, we're all not going to be like Elijah. Unless the Lord's like, I'm coming today. But the promise is still true. That if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you give him your life, he'll take you to heaven. He'll take you to heaven just like Elijah. Elijah's gone. It's hard when the people you love die. It's difficult. Elijah's gone and Elisha's mourning. But let me tell you, there's a time to mourn. There's a time to mourn, but there's also a time to get back up. Elisha's not going to stay in mourning forever. He's just sad for a moment here, but he understands that the harvest is still plentiful. See, Elijah and Elisha had this special relationship, one of discipleship. We don't talk about this very much, church. It's a different message. I don't normally preach like this. They had this special relationship of discipleship. I'm going to ask you a question. How good is your discipleship? Are you being discipled and are you discipling others? That is so important. And let me share a story with you. I don't think I would be here today if it wasn't for a mentor in my life. A godly man. He's not here so I can talk about him. Scott. When I came to Christ, I was a freshman, or just the end of my freshman year. I didn't know what it meant to serve God. I didn't know what it meant to follow the Lord. I just thought maybe you come to church. I didn't know what any of that meant. But because Scott decided to invest in my life, Fridays and Saturdays, he picked me up at my house. We're not related. But he chose to pick me up at my house and take me to the meal ministry. And he showed me what it meant to serve the Lord. I can't thank him enough. And we kind of joke about it. But he's like a father. I was kind of joking, say he's adopted me. And I always give Brittany and Brandy a hard time. Tell Brittany she's the middle child now. But if it wasn't for Scott investing in my life, deciding to disciple me, I don't know if I'd be preaching here today. So let me just challenge you, church, that if you know somebody that needs discipled, please invest in their lives. Because you don't know what the Lord's going to do. We all need this type of relationship. Those that have just come to Christ, you need to find someone to mentor you. It's so important. You need that type of relationship in your life. And it's our calling. See, we always forget this. We think it's the pastor's job. We think it's Jimmy's job to do the discipling. But it's not. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, many of us know it. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's a calling for you and I. Not just Jimmy, not just a pastor. That's a calling for you and I to make disciples. Why? Because it's so important, because it strengthens the church. I pray that you want to see this church strong. Where does it start? It starts with discipleship. We got to be willing to disciple our brothers and sisters in Christ, and you have to be willing to be discipled. Amen? I'm going to say this even for myself. I do not know everything. Amen? I do not know anything. You can say amen. Yeah, Philip doesn't know anything. We don't know everything. It's okay to learn from others, to be discipled by others. Now, Elisha's going to have a decision to make. Let's close it up here. It says, Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah, he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left. And he crossed over. See, church, this is such an important moment. The cloak didn't float down and land on Elisha's shoulders. You're the chosen one. Now, did God choose him? Of course he did. But Elisha had a moment that he had to pick up Elijah's cloak. Some of us are scared today to pick up the cloak. You know you're supposed to be going into this ministry. You know you're supposed to maybe teach youth in the future. You know you're supposed to help in children's church or nursery or go pray with your neighbor or whatever that ministry looks like. But you're too afraid to pick up the cloak. God's laid it out for you. It's right beside you, but you're too afraid to pick it up. And can I just say something bold today? That the church hurts because you don't pick up the cloak. The bride hurts. The church hurts when you don't pick up the cloak. See, Elisha here, he picks it up. And more importantly, this wasn't a boastful thing, or he didn't know, he knew. In verse 14, it says, he took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. And he says, where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Elisha here is confirming that he's supposed to pick up the cloak. And not only did the Lord do it once, twice, three times, but with Elisha, he did it all over again. We see this awesome moment here where he picks up the cloak. God gives him a choice, and God gives us a choice as well. Are you going to be able to pick up the cloak, the mantle, whatever your translations say that God has for you? Can I tell you, there's no better joy than picking up the cloak. There's no better thing. I thought it was going to be, it's so scary. Oh, it's scary. I can imagine Elisha was pretty terrified to pick up Elijah's cloak. It's a pretty big cloak to wear. It's pretty big. But he picks it up because Elisha knew something that I pray we all know this evening. That there's no greater joy than to follow God. There's no greater joy than to follow the Lord. See, there's some of us today that are supposed to start ministries, and that's awesome. You do what the Lord wants you to do. That's great, and please do. But there's some of us that are supposed to inherit a ministry from someone else. And I'll ask you that have done those things, are you willing to allow someone to come up behind you? Are you willing to allow someone to come up behind you to teach, to disciple, so that they can take yours? Something that we've said in this church many times, Jimmy said it many times, and it's very true. We're all replaceable. Please do not be so proud to not be willing to give your ministry to the next. Amen, church? Amen. Are you willing to follow God? See, we see the end of an amazing ministry. To close it all out, we see this amazing end to an amazing ministry, but we also see the beginning of a new. This is the cycle of ministry in this life. Rejoice in it. Have joy in it, knowing that those that you disciple, those that you help, that you mentor, are going to pick it up, and they're going to follow God with all their heart. There's no greater thing to see in your life. This is the end of one and the beginning of one. And this is what it means to finish well, church. Really what Paul's telling Timothy at the end is you're up. Paul says, my time's coming. I'm about to be done. I'm like a drink offering being poured out. I've run my race. And really what he's telling Timothy is it's your turn. Maybe it's your turn. Some of you today, some people, it's your turn. It's not to keep waiting for someone else. You need to start being discipled. Start training with somebody else in your life. Train others to follow the Lord. That's so important. See, we see this common theme throughout the Old Testament. The major thing that gets forgotten is they forgot to teach about the Lord. And let me tell you, church, when we forget to teach about the Lord, you're never going to be in a good spot. Messes happen, sin happens, all those different things. But when you're faithful to teaching about the Lord, He's faithful. He's good. He's amazing. Just like I've done with all the others, I want to give you 3 points. 3 points from this message. I hope you take them to heart. Number one is we all need mentors in our life. There's no one that doesn't. All of us need mentors in our life. I have many mentors in this church. I have a couple outside of this church. I need mentors. And I need to be mentoring some people. I need to have people that I'm helping, that I'm teaching, that I'm encouraging. That's all it really takes, church. You don't have to have a bunch of knowledge. You just need to encourage one another. Build each other up for the kingdom of God, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to make the body even stronger. We need mentors in our life. And number two, it's not about a name. It's not about being greater than somebody else. It's not about being better than somebody else. It's not about being more powerful or more famous or more money or whatever that looks like, but it's about the kingdom of God. Why do we disciple each other for the kingdom of God? No other reason. We disciple one another for the kingdom of God. Like I said before, we're all replaceable. Every single one of us are replaceable, but He is never replaceable. There's no one like Him. He is never replaceable. And number three, are you ready to pick up the cloak? Many of you have been in this constant cycle. I'm ready. Something happens, and you stop. I'm ready to serve in nursery. Maybe not the greatest time in my life. I get it. It's tough. It's hard at times. But we need more believers encouraging one another, mentoring each other, discipling each other to follow the will of God, teaching them the awesome and wonderful things in the Word of God. You want to see people's lives change? Start discipling them. Start loving them, caring for them, investing in their lives. Are you making disciples? Let's stand, church.